Ago, I told you to bring back the copy of the statement of purpose and statement of faith. The reason was I thought we had more. We gave them all out, but we will get more. If you brought it, that's where we kind of are now. My dilemma is, I have to be out the door in about about 35 minutes. We'll see how far I get. there's some good stuff. Sort of at one part here that it's going to stir the pot and rock the boat and step on some toes. But if I can't do it effectively, I'm going to wait till I get back and do it even more, but we'll see if I get there. keep us in prayer. Some of us have left for the conference already, Ron and Charlene. Some of us are leaving early afternoon and the rest this evening, so please keep us in prayer. And the main part of the prayer is that we bring back to you what is needed here and what will help us and improve us and tune us up and get us on the right track. That's my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our congregation. I pray for its health and its well-being, that you would breathe the breath of your Spirit upon us, that we would receive and submit totally to you in every way. We would hear from you and do what you say. In Yeshua's name, amen. Either way, though, I do have a little thing at the end which makes me feel better. I'll share that with you. All right, 2 weeks ago, and the bad news was that the recording device did not work, so it was not recorded. We went through the first 2 points of our statement of purpose, our vision statement, pardon me, but in essence, it was, in summary, and it was a long one, our purpose, point one. And you know what, you don't have this, so I'll read these. As we go, number one, our purpose is to worship the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We shouldn't have to say that, but it's a matter of keeping us focused. That's why we're here. We get busy doing all this other stuff that doesn't really matter anyway, but that's priority. We worship the God of our fathers as a community. See, this is as a community, individually also, but as a community. Okay, we do it together. Number two, the bylaws is a part of this is laws of the corporation. We exist to proclaim Yeshua as the Messiah of Israel. Whoa, these first two, all the rest of this stuff hinges on these first two, to worship and to proclaim Yeshua as the Messiah. That's what makes us messianic, to proclaim Yeshua. He's the focus of messianic Judaism. Pardon me, not a bunch of other stuff. Our goal is to bring people to Him. It isn't to where we can be polished in all the intricate details of tradition. I love all that stuff, I really do, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to bring people to Yeshua, and the priority is bring Jewish people to Yeshua. I started asking in the first message, so how are we doing? I'm going to keep doing that, and when I get back, I'll probably finish this up with some more stuff. I'm going to keep asking, so how are we doing on some of this stuff? All right? If you think we're doing good, you're wrong. We're not. Yeshua said, as a focal point, no one can come unto the Father except through me. He's a little narrow-minded, I'd say, wouldn't you? Yeah, he is. The most narrow-minded there is. There is one way. He is the only way. We need to remember that as we look at people who need Him and we tell them other stuff. We need to tell them about Him. He said, all authority in heaven. You know, that's a lot. That's okay. And that means judgment. And earth has been given unto me. He said that. We are under His authority. We need to act like it. We're under His authority. He has imparted, though, his message to us. If I was Him, I'd have given it to angels. Wouldn't that have been more impressive? Angels come flying in, and they kind of get big and powerful, and then give you, you'd listen, right? No, He sends us. He sends people like us. It worked. You're here. I'm here. I listened to somebody. It took. There's really humor in that. It should never have worked with me. There was nothing glamorous about it at all. You know, my testimony is the dullest in the world, but it worked. One little prayer, and here I am, still here. Right, and it'll happen to people you tell, that you give that message to. He imparted his message to us to proclaim it to all nations, the biggest job of all time. Okay? We are to proclaim what? Some people go out and say other stuff. We're to proclaim who he is, why he came, what he has done. And to make it as simple as possible, that God so loved them that he gave his only son, that if they believe in him, they will not perish but have everlasting life. It's as simple as that. We go out and do stuff and don't say that. And that's the most important thing we can say. John, who recorded that saying of Yeshua, added this. He said, by the way, just to make it clear, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. John was saying, do you get it? He is the focus. He's the focus. That was the message 2 weeks ago. Number 3 of 7. Let's see how far we get. To establish a community of Jewish and non-Jewish messianic believers committed to following biblical instruction within the context of messianic Judaism. That narrows stuff down a bit. We're not like everybody else. Does that mean they're wrong? Well, that's the part I'm going to step on some toes here a little later. I may not get there because I have to do it right. They're not wrong. We're different, and they're different. You got to understand that they're reaching a lot more people than we are. Don't say how wrong they are. Where did you come to the Lord? Baptist church for me. Work for me. Sang 82,000 verses of Just As I Am. I never went once on that song. I love the song, though. I came to the Lord at a volleyball game. Not so glamorous, all right? Number 3, okay, to establish a community, a congregation of messianic believers who are committed. They're committed to following biblical instruction. That means doing it, hearing and doing. Not just knowing, passing a test, but doing it. How are we doing on this one? How are we doing? And the context is messianic Judaism. We narrow stuff. We're different. We have something different to offer, which, by the way, happens to be the authentic context of the Scripture, of the New Testament. That we do have right. But don't tell people in arrogance, okay, how wrong they are, how right we are. Just share with them and they'll see it. More on that in a bit, because that's what I'm going to be doing later in the summer. Yeshua in Matthew 16 with his disciples said, I'm going to build my community on this rock, on him. It's built on him. He will build his community. He's the foundation, not other stuff. He's the foundation. But God's design, as seen in the book of Acts, one of my favorite books, is to gather together as a community. Okay, as a congregation and do stuff together for worship, for teaching, to work together in ministry. The concept is we can't do it alone. We need each other. And I have to, when I look around and when you look around, we have to look back at the original group, and there was humor there. Probably the outsiders, the intelligent, educated people would say, you're going to do what with who? And he did. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2, which we have access to the same power. But we can't do it alone. We need each other. In the book of Acts, they just did not proclaim the message. That's priority, but they established messianic congregations. That's what they did. They established messianic congregations. Point 4. We're just flying right along, aren't we? To disciple, okay, to worship, to proclaim, to establish a community, to disciple who? Believers in Messiah through the teaching of God's word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. All right, disciple. Through the teaching of the scriptures and the ministry of the Spirit. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. And how are we doing? Okay, it means disciplined learner. Yeshua had disciples. All right, they hung in there. One failed big time. Okay, but the rest hung in there. Are you hanging in there? Disciplined learners. Are you disciplined? Are you disciplined? We are to impart biblical knowledge, right? Understanding and application. How you do it. And then, that's not enough, and then reproduce it in other people. That's the discipleship process. And the greater picture of a discipleship process is establishing another congregation. We're going to be doing this stuff with Ubaldo in a few weeks. We're discipling. Our congregation is discipling his congregation. All right? They're preparing. They give us some assignments to get ready to do for them what they need. And this is an amazing thing. We did the right stuff there, I got to tell you. We did the right stuff with him. Okay? And God's going to do some neat things. A part of the community discipleship process is this. I'm preaching to the choir, right? At this point, faithful attendance, showing up is important. Why? To learn, to study, to worship together as a community. Not just Saturday morning, Bible studies, prayer meetings, conferences. I praise God for the number going to this conference. This is an important conference, very important conference. I've already gotten some heads up on a couple of meetings that our elders are required to attend, and their wives. And they're going to step on our toes big time. And it's on purpose, and we need it. Okay? But take your shoes off and stick them out there. We need it, and it's going to happen. You pray for all of us that as the toes get stepped on, the heart does this, and we say, okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. It's interesting that the same problems we have are almost always across the board in the whole movement. Then we go back and see what problems everybody else is having. It's the same ones we have at the same time. Satan is attacking the same way all across the board, but there's a solution. All right? Anyway, keep us in prayer. Conferences, retreats. You're supposed to go to this stuff. Social activities. Social, fun stuff. When you make friends, you build relationships. It's supposed to be fun as well as academic. Okay? But be here. You're supposed to show up. For more than just the holidays. Okay, but for sure on the holidays, show up. Yeshua said that the goal of the Great Commission was what? To make disciples. That's our point. The goal is to make disciples, disciplined learners, people who take this stuff serious. Ubaldo's taking this stuff serious. All right? But they're disciples of him. Disciples, our message to Adat HaMashiach Uruguay is not, you are disciples of Adat HaMashiach, Mission Viejo now, okay? No, you're disciples of him. And we're in this together. Paul taught Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2, his disciple. He said, the things you have heard from me, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach them to others. That's the discipleship process. That's a part of the Great Commission. We're to duplicate the right stuff, but we have to be right to do it. How are we doing? I have a list. I do. And my name's at the top of that list. So you pray for me, please. So how are we doing? Well, you know, we do a picture at bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs called the door of a door. That's the discipleship process. To take what we know and pass it on. Part of the vision. Part of the vision is to establish new congregations. It's called missions. We just don't go, okay, but we go, and the purpose, the bottom line is to establish new congregations. The point of our teaching here is that we know the Scriptures and that we do the Scriptures. You see, within a context of Judaism, you don't know until you do it. We need to do things right, do the Scriptures correctly, and then teach others what we know and how to do. That's the discipleship process. It has to do also with values, biblical values. I got to tell you, every time I turn the TV on, I wonder what country I woke up in this morning. Things are changing so fast. The values are shifting quickly to where the implications already are that what we're doing is sort of like against the law or the laws to come. The lines are going to be drawn really clear, really soon, okay? But biblical values versus the values of the world around us. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's without that, we have nothing. We have nothing. He empowers us to fulfill our calling. Jews and Gentiles have different callings. We work together in a congregation, though, in a Messianic congregation. The Holy Spirit has not only empowered, he has gifted, supernaturally gifted us, and enabled us to do ministry as a congregation. It's not because you're so good or I'm so good. Trust me on that one. It's because he enables, he empowers. Some of my worst all-time teachings people have come to the Lord in. It's not me. The Holy Spirit takes the person's need, takes his word, and speaks to the heart. Some of my greatest teachings of all time. No one remembers except me. Okay. Point five. To provide an environment which encourages Jewish believers in Yeshua to embrace is a good term, their Jewish heritage, to retain their Jewish identity and lifestyle, and to preserve, I like the word, a biblically Jewish expression of faith. Notice there's nothing there about trying to make Gentiles into Jews, right? Okay, and it was done that way on purpose. Part of why we exist is to provide an environment. How are we doing? We'll come back to this stuff. Encouraging Jewish believers, to embrace Jewish heritage, identity, culture, to retain their lifestyle, their identity. Say, this is a good thing, don't lose it. To preserve, I like the word, preserve a biblically Jewish expression of faith. The opposite of those last few sentences are called assimilation. We are opposed to assimilation in any form, which means our expression must be two-pronged, biblical and Jewish. Biblical and Jewish. It's a cultural aspect. I got to tell you, you have to come to understand it. But unless you're born Jewish, unless you have Jewish blood, you have a missing piece that you just can't get. Okay, you can't get that. My prayer as a non-Jew is to understand it, is to understand it so I can minister. But you can't totally get it without the blood. But when you who are Jewish know what I'm talking about. But we who are not need to be reminded of that. Paul reminded the Messianic Gentiles in Romans 11, my favorite chapter, remember, he's saying to them, you do not support the root. How many times do we have to keep saying this one? Paul knew, but the root supports you. The root supports you. I'm not Jewish. I am Messianic. I don't identify as a Jew, but I identify with Jews and have joined with them in a Messianic Jewish community because I want to, okay? Because I really want to. My identity is in Yeshua as the Messiah. He's a Jewish Messiah, and all of his friends were Jewish. They did Jewish stuff. But my identity is not, do I have the right stuff on here today? No, it's in him. It's in him. Okay? And I'm really secure in that. Okay? I really am. I know that part about me. I teach and encourage, and so should you, all Jews, to embrace their heritage. It's the richest heritage of all time, of any ethnic group. To embrace their heritage, their culture, and traditions, which are outside of the scripture. It's kind of what makes the culture what it is, the heritage. We need to understand those things and where they came from. They're beautiful, but know the difference. What's biblical and what's not? All right, I have a question in a minute. My prayer is to provide an environment. How are we doing? Okay. Where believing Jews can be comfortable in their Jewishness, in who they are, their identity, while believing in Yeshua as the Messiah, all right? Our expression, I've said this, must be biblical and Jewish at the same time. Now, the opposite of a Jewish identity is assimilation, which we're opposed to. We provide this concept that I'm talking about, we provide this for the sake of believing Jews, not Messianic Gentiles. I'm throwing something open right about now that when I get back, if y'all want to have a little seminar and sit around talking about this, we can. Okay? I would really like to do that. How are we doing? Okay? We provide the environment for the sake, not of the Gentiles, but for believing Jews. But I'll put up my toes. There's no point in doing much of what we do. The Jewish stuff. If there are no Jews, why do it? Why do it? How are we doing? Some of us are getting really good at some of the Jewish stuff, but we're not bringing Jews. Don't take your eyes off of his heart. Go first to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? Not. I got the right to lead on. There's no point. And you're going to, some of you, I know what you're going to say, because I know what you're reading. And we need to talk in a question and answer time. And when I get back, there's no point if there's no Jews. A Torah service, okay? A Torah service is, are you ready for this? Not even biblical. I love it. I enjoy it. It's not in the Bible. It's not a prescribed thing to do. All right, we got to get that down, though, every single point, every single word, right? Doesn't matter if there's any Jews here or not, we do it right. And the Jewish community, when they walk in the door, says, those are Christians pretending to be Jews. I want real Jews with Jewish blood doing this stuff so they can't say that. Okay? I don't pretend. I'm who I am, but I'm not Jewish. I'm not pretending to be a Jew. I identify with Jews and what they do because I love what they do. The Torah service is a tradition within Judaism. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I love it. It paints a picture of what? What's the picture it paints? It paints a picture, first of all, of the covenant at Mount Sinai. That it's a drama of that covenant, honoring the Word of God that we love, which points us to Yeshua. Okay, but sometimes we forget that and get into, well, you know, should we do this little prayer? My biggest concern. I'm getting somewhere today here. My biggest concern, I have some concerns, some big ones, but my biggest is this, is that we are not reaching Jews. I'm in pain over that right now, big pain, because we don't have the vision to do it. We have the vision for other stuff. It's not going to make a bit of difference in the kingdom. My biggest concern is that we're not reaching Jews. And you've been given the truth to tell them. We have an opportunity to provide an environment. If we stop fighting and doing a bunch of other stuff, maybe they'll feel good when they show up and come back and bring their families. My biggest concern is that we're not reaching Jews. But you know what? Somebody is. I know who they are. You want to know who they are? Put your toes. I'm putting my toes out. That's what I'm doing. Churches who have crosses in their building and they have Christmas trees and they sing Amazing Grace on Sundays. Those people are reaching Jews. A lot of them. All the things we say, well, you know, we how are they doing that? See, we then have the arrogance to say to them, you're doing that wrong. While they reach Jews, and we don't. And we're doing it right while they reach Jews and we don't. And in our rightness, we miss the whole point of why we exist. While people who don't know any better are reaching Jews. Why? Because they're extending love, the love of Yeshua to them. While they sing joy to the world. It works because they come to the Lord, okay? Because someone reaches out in love, like we should be doing. Some of those people, okay, when they reach out in genuine love to Jewish people, get a response. Most Jews come to the Lord in churches, okay? Well, some of our, not here, but, you know, Messianic people reach out in arrogance, in pride, in judgment. You're not doing this right. You know, if you're Jewish, you should be doing this and this and this and this and this. And I go, sorry. And they won't come here if you say that. Okay? That just doesn't sound like the Holy Spirit to me. This last week, I was talking to a Jewish man. He was explaining some stuff to me. He was feeling guilty, by the way, about what he's doing. He's going, it's a congregation that meets on Sundays. I'll just say that. And he's kind of feeling guilty about that a little bit. And he's explaining why they do that. He says, I got to tell you. See, if you have Jewish blood, you don't have to prove you're Jewish. And he says, all my Jewish friends who go to this congregation, they go over there because it's easy. We don't have to do anything. We don't do Shabbat. We don't do the holidays. We don't care about Torah. It's easy. Good point, because it's not easy here. We have lots of stuff. But they don't have to prove they're Jewish. It's just easy. But he's starting to feel the guilt of saying, but we're supposed to be doing some of this. Mm-hmm. So he's feeling some of the guilt. But he's just saying, it doesn't affect my Jewishness. I'm still Jewish. My Jewishness is in my blood, not my practice. But if it's in my blood, maybe I should take a look at the practice. That's what he's saying. But he's just letting me know it's easier out there. It's easier, okay? My question, though, is, okay, who are you? Who are we? How do you define yourself? Don't let others do it. I talked at length last week. Okay, this gentleman goes, what's the term? A Sunday keeper. A Sunday keeper. Okay, he believes in Yeshua. Are you going to tell me that a man with this name, his name is Israel Cohen, that he's not Jewish because he didn't do all the stuff? You can tell me that? I started laughing. I go, I know people will say you're not Jewish. Israel Cohen? Come on. Okay. Yeshua said at the last Seder, he says, you know, they'll know if you're Messianic. That's the word, by the way. They'll know if you're Messianic by how you love each other. How we doing on that? Well, I'm at point six, and I have 7 minutes. Hang on one second. Let me make a big decision here. Can I do this? I can try. Okay, point six. I'll read it. This is good. To build, protect, and preserve the unity and equality of Jewish and non-Jewish Messianic believers within our congregation while recognizing the unique biblical responsibilities and callings of individuals, Jewish, non-Jewish, male, female. Wow, is that politically correct or what? Unique callings of Jews. Romans 11, Paul said, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Hasn't changed. He has a unique calling for Jews. That's different from anybody else in the world. God's calling on his people will lead them to their destiny. He has a plan. In Romans 3, he said, to the Jews were committed the oracles of God. Oh, pretty big responsibility. God uniquely revealed himself to and through Jews. Right here. Okay? The oracles of God were given to them. Of non-Jews, in Romans 11, he said, we are to provoke Jews to jealousy. We provoke, all right. We say things that really embarrass me, because a Jew is a Jew if they have Jewish blood, not if they do a Torah service or whatever a practice might be. And if you take a look at what this wording actually means, it's not what it sounds like. The word provoke is encourage, and the word jealousy is zealousness. We're to encourage people to be zealous. We're to, as a Gentile, to encourage Jews to take their stuff serious, because they gave it to us, which was my message to a synagogue, a men's group, at which point when I finished, see, I don't know what I'm doing. When you're ignorant, you can get away with a lot of stuff. The retired rabbi came up and said, let me get this straight. The only difference in you and me is that who we think the Messiah is, he got it. We're the same except for that one itsy-bitsy-teeny-weeny thing. I said, yeah. And of course, you know how that conversation goes then, right? Oh, okay. And then he comes back and he says, so tell me, why do you believe he's the Messiah? Perfect opening. But you got to go to the right place. I didn't judge anybody. Anyway, the Olive Tree Connection, we're to encourage. In the book of Acts, we have Jews and Gentiles together in the synagogue believing in Yeshua as the Messiah. That's a picture of a Messianic congregation. In the book of Acts, male and female, it's in our bylaws. In the book of Acts, women were included as equals. okay, and as partners in ministry, including women disciples, women apostles, and deacons. I have a CD called The Women of Acts. Get that one. Yeshua tore down the gender gap of the Orthodox, by the way, and he gave women equal rights and responsibilities in ministry. It's all through the New Testament. We have botched it up in history past. When you look at what really is said and happened, it's equality. And for those of you, and this is funny, because some of you still say, I heard your teaching, I saw that, but I still don't think women should be in leadership. It's a personal preference at that point, because it's not what the scripture says. So to you who think that still, let me say this, that historically speaking, 80% of those who have gone to fulfill the Great Commission as missionaries have been women. Thank you, ladies, for being the example. Thank you. Thank you. Well, okay, I'm going to save my 0.7 till later, but because doing all that leads me to this, I want to end with this. Okay, so we will do 7, which is the building of bridges of understanding to the Christian community and the Jewish community. How are we going to do that, and how are we doing? We're doing okay in some of that, but we'll talk. But I want to end with this. Now, as you can see, I'm in grief over a few things. I didn't get to the real big ones yet, but I'm bothered. Okay, I get what's the term? Discouraged. Now, when I get discouraged about some of this stuff, whose fault is it? Let me say this: some of you in this very room have caused me at times to be discouraged for different reasons. However, okay, let me share with you an encouraging thing as I end and then make my great escape out the door. All right? My favorite Bible character is David, man after God's own heart. That's what I want to be. But don't turn there, just listen. 1 Samuel 22:2. You can look at it later, but I want to share this. The man after God's own heart, his first congregation. And what, does this make me feel better? Let me read to you his first congregation. It says this. this is so good. I'm glad I came across this week. It says, everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to David, and he became their leader. I feel better now, okay? I feel better. Because it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. And part of this conference is we're going to go and learn how to do it better, starting with us, with me, and leadership. I pray that the Lord blasts us, please. Because we want to come back and do it right. You know, this is right, but we're not doing this. We need to do this, and you do it from the heart, not from a politically correct piece of paper. It has to be who we are being reflected in what we do. And the result of that is going to be Jewish people coming in here. And that's my goal. And we're not doing so good on that one, okay? We're not doing so good. Be nice to them. They're God's chosen people. Okay, here's what we're doing. We're going to gather together in prayer circles. Here's the instruction. Let's see how good you do. Of 3 or 4 people. That's not 2 or 5. 3 or 4. You're going to share prayer requests quickly. You're going to have 3 or 4 minutes of prayer in your little group. If you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, you don't have to, but pray. And then when the shofar sounds, come back together, and the service will continue with those traditions of a Torah service and liturgy, which, by the way, I really dearly love, okay, and appreciate, because it paints the picture of the covenant at Sinai, God giving us his instructions, and it paints a picture of Yeshua, the coming Messiah. Hope that's what you see when you do it. Form your prayer circles of three or four, not 2 or 5. Right now would be good. Bless you, and we're leaving.